is the premise of the new novel, The Nest. A lot of money, trillions of dollars, will be passed from one generation to the other in the form of inheritance over the next few decades. Cynthia Dupree Sweeney explores the idea in her debut novel, examining how one possible inheritance affects the four adult siblings of the Plum family. This is a family that has spent their lives awaiting the modest trust fund they've nicknamed The Nest. Their father, Leonard Sr., has set it up to be dispersed once Melody, the youngest, turns 40, but then dies unexpectedly of a heart attack, and those funds eventually grow by a lot, and then everyone starts to fight. The name of the new novel is The Nest, and it's a great pleasure to welcome Cynthia Dupree Sweeney to the roundtable this morning. Thank you very much for being with us.
Thank you for having me.
What brought you to this particular subject of wanting to tell the story that you tell in The Nest?
I knew when I started writing fiction, which was fairly recently in my life, I went back to graduate school a few years ago, that I wanted to write about adult siblings because the topic really fascinates me. I grew up in a very Irish-Italian Catholic environment, and everyone I knew, all of my friends had lots of siblings. I'm the oldest of four, and that was considered small. And as I've watched, you know, people grapple with adult sibling relationships as everyone ages, it's just sort of a never-ending, fascinating topic for me.
When you look at that topic and the ideas in the book, this family seems to be not just dysfunctional, but I believe is said in the blurb on the book jacket, spectacularly dysfunctional.
Yeah, they have made some poor decisions and choices in their lives, and they are estranged from one another. And I was interested in writing about a group of siblings who are in peril and have to find their way back to one another or maybe release each other.
And that idea of releasing each other is obviously, that's easier said than done.
Yes.
But because what ultimately are you releasing? The relationship or the responsibility?
I think the book on its surface is a story about these four siblings who are waiting to inherit money, and that's factually true. But I think that actually what everyone inherits the minute they're born is their place in a family narrative. And it's one that you don't have any control over, including who the other people in the story are. So you just become the oldest or the youngest or the funny one or, you know, the smart one or the pretty one. And that narrative sort of builds around you. And then I think everyone, you know, at some point in their lives, to differing degrees, depending on your family or who you are, you have to reconcile that story you inherit with the one that you're trying to write for yourself. And you choose to bring certain things forward with you and, you know, to let certain things go. Not necessarily people entirely, but I think that sense of being defined by who you are in your family of origin.
That idea of family of origin, so let's talk about the origin, because I find it really interesting that you obviously spent a lot of time in New York as well as Los Angeles. Those cities play a part in the novel. So that has a lot to do with it, too, right? The place, the culture of those places.
Yes. I definitely think that, you know, the family in this book is a very Northeast family. And, you know, their family has been... I think it's very common, and I've certainly met lots of people in my travels whose family had money at one point and for a variety of reasons don't anymore. But those expectations are still there, that life will be a certain way. And when you sort of come up against the reality of not being able to do that, I think it's really can be a struggle for people.
So there is basically this summary of the children's traits by the father that Leo is the most charming, B is the brightest, Jack is the most resourceful, and Melody is just the youngest.
Mm-hmm, right.
And they play those roles, right?
Yeah, they do. And, you know, I really felt like I'm the oldest in my family, and my youngest brother is 11 years younger than I am. And I played a huge part, I would think, sometimes in keeping him the youngest. And I watched him as an adult sort of struggle to find his voice within the family and to not have all of us, you know, sort of be cheerfully dismissive of his opinions. And I think there was a point where I noticed that was happening every time we were together, and I just thought, wow, that really stinks. That really stinks to just have your entire identity with the people who have known you the longest and in some ways the best just be the youngest.
And as a youngest child, you sometimes, just because of age, you're always thought of as the baby.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. It doesn't matter how old you are. You're always kind of the baby.
Yeah. And there's suddenly, and maybe in some relationships, in family relationships and not in others, but maybe there will be that time where they look at you as an adult, and yet maybe not.
Yeah, exactly. And some people, you know, I talked to my friend, the amazing journalist Susan Orlean about this, and she's the youngest in her family, and she says, you know, I played that up. I loved it. I loved being the baby. You know, I wanted to be, like, that was a special place. So, you know, part of it depends on your personality, too. But I think, I really do think that in some ways, the youngest that's the hardest role to break out of when you're grown up.
Susan and I actually have discussed this at great length because it was both our take that we had our parents in their best time because they had arrived, they were making money, they could afford stuff for us, and
exactly.
We got spoiled. It was nice.
Well, you know, it's funny, and Susan and I have talked about the same thing, and I love that you know, her theory of birth order is you know, that's a huge component of it, like where you arrive at, where your parents are when you arrive, where they are financially. And my youngest brother, who's 11 years younger than I am, one year for my parents' wedding anniversary, he gave them it was sort of like a collage. You know, he was young, and he'd cut pictures out of a magazine, but it was, you know, Paris, London, Rome. And we'd never taken any of those types of trips with my parents. We were all in college, and he was sort of traveling around with my dad had work in various places, and he would tag along. And my older, you know, my sister and brother and I sort of looked at this and said, what family did you grow up in? that you were visiting the great places of Europe as a kid, you know?
And of course, as this story of the nest, of the nest egg, money really does change relationships.
Yes, it does.
I mean, it has you write about this and explore this in the novel of what impact, even if there is money already there, that it still has a great impact on the relationships.
It does, and it's funny because, again, as I've been, you know, this is the book has sort of made its way out in the world. You know, people want to tell me their family money stories, and they differ only in the details, the specific details, but the story is pretty much the same, and it's, you know, mom or dad passed away, and we're all fighting over what's left, and it doesn't matter if what's left is a dining room table or hundreds of thousands of dollars. You know, if the parents haven't made their wishes and intentions perfectly clear, all of these old sibling rivalries and relationships and grievances really rise up. And of course, you're not really arguing about the thing. You're arguing about the history of how you feel you were treated by your parents or what you feel you got from them.
I certainly don't want you to give, not that you would, but I certainly don't want you to give the ending of the book away. But you do have an epilogue to the story. And I'm just curious as to, in writing that, was there a desire to have some sort of resolution without making it too perfect.
Yeah, I mean, I actually struggled with whether or not there should be an epilogue.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought about just ending the book with the last chapter. But that felt a little too unresolved to me. And I felt like, you know, there are a lot of characters in this book. There's like 10 point of view characters. And by the end of the book, I have asked the reader to invest a little bit in all of them. And I felt like the reader deserved a little more resolution than that last chapter. But yes, I very much wanted it to be something that felt satisfying, but not too pat.
Tell me a little bit about your story. As far you mentioned early on in our conversation that you came new to fiction writing. You got an MFA from the Bennington Writing Seminar, which is right here in our region.
So that's
What point did you say, okay, this is something that I would like to do and have fiction be part of my life?
Well, I guess I was still living in New York, and I was, I don't know, probably around 46 or 47, and my kids were getting older, and I had more time on my hands. And the work that I was doing then was freelance writing, project managing. I worked in marketing, communications, and branding. And I was just tired of that work. And because my kids were older, the flexibility that it gave me was no longer sort of the most important thing about work. And I started to think about what I really, really wanted to do. And I, you know, sort of crept up to fiction and started playing around with it. And we relocated to Los Angeles. And I took a couple of fiction writing classes at the UCLA Writers Extension. And I felt like, okay, I think I do want to do this. And I know that there are things that I can learn to get better at it. And I'm 49, so I better really commit if I'm going to do it. And that's what sort of, that was a little nudge to get into the Bennington program, because I knew by the end of 2 years I would have a pretty good sense of whether or not it was something that I really wanted to commit to in a full-hearted way.
Well, the name of the book is The Nest, a novel. It is published by Echo. Cynthia DePriest-Sweeney, I thank you so much for sharing with us. Best of luck with the debut novel.
Thanks so much. Thanks for having me.
Great pleasure. Thank you. Again, the title of the book is The Nest. It is published by Echo. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.